Jordan. I work in a hospital for chest diseases. And what I do, I'm an evangelist who happens to be a hospital administrator. By serving our patients who are very chronically ill, we're able to build up a relationship with them through just serving them, taking care of them. If they see the gospel and through us and from us, that they will be drawn to him. As we often say, if we don't preach, we don't practice. And we would close the hospital rather than not be allowed to preach. And we all feel very strongly about that.
Hi, my name is Roger. This is my wife, Delphine, and we've been ministering in north of India since 2009, where the focus is the planting churches, multiplying and creating a movement, because it's the church that's the transforming agent. Since we began, now our ministry has extended far beyond Bihar, the boundaries of Bihar. We have gone into the country of Nepal, as well as many other countries in the Himalayan region.
A part of the holistic transformation leadership training is we bring people in, people who know and love the Lord, and we want to train them so that they could go out and share the gospel with others. So the ways we do it is we teach them to share their story, how they came to know Jesus Christ, the change that Jesus Christ has brought into their lives, and they also share God's story, how Christ died on the cross for them. So as they go out and share these stories, they are really inviting people in to come to their house church, so they're all meeting together.
More and more people are now wanting to come to this program, to the extent that we're saying, sorry, we can't take you because we are limited by the resources, and you have to wait until next year or the next year and the year after. Only we could, you know, have more resource, financial resource, people resource, skills resource. Imagine how much more can be done. Most of us in the believing community have not understood that having received Jesus for ourselves, now there's a task in front of us.
So there it is. Our international workers are serving in the most remarkable circumstances around the world, bringing Jesus and ushering in the kingdom of God. Through Roger and Delphine Sook, literally thousands of churches are being planted. Would you please, this year, consider giving a Christmas gift to the international work, that you would stand with, both in prayer and in finance, our international workers, that the advance of the gospel globally will move forward. It can only happen when we all participate. Our target is $300,000. Please prayerfully consider your participation with our Christmas gift this year.
Good morning. Great to share with you this morning. I look at Pastor Tim get up each Sunday when he hosts. And he can grab the microphone, he can join in worship, you know. Oh, I can never do that. But I was inspired when I heard his Thermomix story, because a few years ago, I bought my wife a Thermomix as well. Now, my story is probably not as grand as Tim's, because Megan really wanted a Thermomix, and she organized a Thermomix party. And it was a typical kind of Melbourne day in Newcastle. It poured. And no one could really make it out. Storms, stay-at-home warnings. So in the end, it was this very nervous Thermomix consultant and Megan and I. And it looked like it was going to be a really long night. And I said to her, if we buy the Thermomix now, will you relax? And she said, yes. So I bought the Thermomix and I had the most expensive ever dinner I've had with my wife. But now I feel like Pastor Tim, so it's all good. Welcome. Welcome, and welcome if you're joining us at Church Online or on Facebook Live around the globe today. It's great to have you with us as part of the Crossway community. And can I really encourage us all to press into the Christmas appeal this year, the opportunity we have to invest in our missionaries around the globe, making a difference for Jesus this year. I want to take you back to 1975, and I'm an eight-year-old, and close your ears if you don't want to hear this about Santa Claus. It's a warning. I'm an eight-year-old, And I'm desperately trying to hold on to my belief in the man in the big red suit. And there I am lying on the lounge room floor. My older brother and my cousins, the six of us, as we would do every Christmas as kids, lying on air mattresses in my grandmother's small, humble home in the Junction in Newcastle. It's Christmas Eve and we're full of expectation. And all I want for Christmas is an orange glowing dragster. And I wonder, is Santa going to bring it for me? And we're asleep. And the carrots are outside and the milk. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake with this kind of pain across my legs, wondering what is it? And I kind of wake up slowly and I sit up and my mum has run over my legs with my dragster. And I look at my mum and I can hear my auntie in the background laughing. And my mum, as she always does, just says, "It's okay, son, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep." She's just run over me with the dragster. And suddenly, Christmas is different. Christmas is different. Suddenly, how I saw Christmas is different. A tradition had been disturbed, and it would never be the same again. At the heart of Christmas is the incarnation of Jesus, a wonderful but a disturbing truth. And Crossway, whether we're here this morning or watching online, can I encourage us that we might lean into that reality this morning? How might Christmas disturb us this year? Words we wouldn't often use. But how might we be different because of Christmas this year? I got a friend up north, a pastor, a bit of a quirky, eccentric kind of character, makes his own cards. And he sent me a Christmas card a couple of years ago. You know, no sanitized nativity seen on the front, no northern hemisphere snow or beautiful Australian outback, just a black cover, nothing else, black. You open up the card, and inside was this message: "May the reality of the incarnation disturb your Christmas this year." Now, you want to get those kind of Christmas cards, don't you? But you know what? That card made a profound difference to my Christmas that year, because there is truth there, friends. The incarnation, God becoming man, ought to disturb us afresh every Christmas in our comfort zone. It ought to surprise us afresh as we lean into that Christmas truth. We come to familiar words in Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to the firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no available lodging for them. That night there were shepherds staying in their fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will be great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened." Crossway, our invitation this year, whether we're here this morning or online, around the world, our invitation this Christmas to go to Bethlehem and see. To come again to the familiar Christmas story, but pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Break afresh into our lives, just as you broke into the world 2,000 years ago. Break afresh into our lives this Christmas." The challenge: what will we see? What will we see this Christmas? And what will we do How might God change us? We read in John's gospel these profound words. The Word became flesh. God became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. God became flesh and broke into human history, broke into our world, broke into our lives. Charles Wesley, pondering that truth as a hymn writer, wrote, "Our God contracted to a span incomprehensibly made man." God enters time and space for us. The philosopher Pascal wrote, "Say what you will, but this is the most amazing thing. God comes to humanity." The long-awaited Messiah comes. He comes. But God chooses human birth. God chooses a peasant girl. God chooses Bethlehem, the backwater, doesn't choose one of the great cities or one of the A-list suburbs on the rising real estate market. God chooses a stable, a messy, broken one. He invites shepherds, the least likely in the culture, to be invited first. He brings the elite, the magi, powerful, influential men to their knees. A baby will thwart King Herod's plans that we'll consider in this series this month. And soon in his childhood, God will become a refugee. Max Lucado writes this challenging comment. "This is not how it was supposed to be. This is not how Israel planned it. This is not how it was supposed to be. This wasn't how they scripted it." Most missed out on what God was doing, breaking into human history. And most still do. Many still will this Christmas. And he goes on. And what about us? What about us as followers of Jesus who've read the script? Has this most amazing reality truly changed us inside and out? How will it change us anew this Christmas time? That's our prayer as a team for today and for this series. It's our prayer that we will ask ourselves afresh, what do we see at Bethlehem? And what will we do about it? And how will we, how will I, how will you, how will your family be different because of Christmas 2017? You know, we could get hung up on trimmings and traditions. The kids and I put up the tree last night, and the kids were kind of debating about the Christmas message they wanted to put up on their notice board. We can get caught up in all those beautiful things, trimmings and traditions, but we can miss, as Pastor Tim's already said, that reason for the season afresh in our lives. We can get caught up in familiarity. You know, your family tradition or the carols that we sing or the lovely things that come at this time of year, but we can be robbed of the richness and the reality of God breaking afresh into our lives. Many Australians, many people over around the globe will be comfortable with gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We're comfortable to sing Away in a Manger or the First Noel, but as the British poet Steve Turner says, don't let the man grow up and have nails in his hands. Or, as we ponder this December, in this Advent season, it may be in reality, if we're honest and authentic this morning, we would actually say, Jesus, you're distant. That the passion isn't what it was. The fire doesn't burn like it did. How will we be different in Christmas 2017? We've called this series The Thrill of Hope, from that great song, the great carol we sang this morning. A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. God breaks into human history. Hope comes to town. Grace with a human face. Jesus comes for us. And our challenge? To come back to that wonderful but disturbing reality of the incarnation in our lives today. What does it mean for us? The incarnation brings surprise. The incarnation is full of surprise. Think about it this morning. Think about the key characters in the Bethlehem story, Mary and Joseph. Their life is turned upside down. Their script is radically changed as God breaks into their life in the most amazing, out of this world, but true, surprising way. The shepherds. Today it would be like inviting the homeless of Melbourne or an ostracized ethnic group. The shepherds, kind of unclean, pushed aside people, are invited first to come and worship the Savior. The Magi, these wise scientific men, kings possibly, church history still debates who they are, but they were men of influence and power. But a baby brings them to their knees in the most surprising way. Herod, who thinks he is the king, realizes that there's a new threat in town in the most surprising way, a baby born in Bethlehem. And throughout the Gospels, we see the Jewish leaders scratching their head at this surprising Messiah. God comes to surprise us. God comes to surprise us. The question, are we open to his surprise in our lives this Christmas? Dick Dowsett, a British pastor, I was told after the first service this morning, has preached on this platform at Crossway. Dick Dowsett, a British pastor, a young pastor, who in the 1960s, having gone to Asia, develops this passion, this burden to be a sending church, that his church might reflect our DNA and send missionaries out into Asia to share the good news. And he sets up a missionary kind of sending strategy, a missionary committee, prayers happening over the course of 12 months. He preaches on the opportunity to go. He pours his heart and soul into it. But over the first 12 months, no one puts their hand up to go to Asia. And then one Sunday, he's preaching almost with a sense of despair in his soul. And God turns up in the most surprising way. God taps Dick Dowsett on the shoulder. And who's the first person from that church to go to Asia? Dick Dowsett and his wife. He resigns from the comfortable church that he was in and he moves to the Philippines in the midst of poverty. And 50 years later, he still works with OMF across Asia, having a profound impact in the missionary movements across that continent. God turns up in surprising ways. In my script, I wasn't going to be in Melbourne at Crossway this Christmas. I clocked up 10 years at Baptist Care last January, and Megan and I had kind of scripted what 2017 looked like. In the middle of this year gone, I was going to take long service leave at Baptist Care, and we'd planned a kind of 3-month overseas holiday to go and stay with some families that we'd made long-term connections with in Italy. And we were going to kind of reassess what 2018 would bring. That was the script. That was the plan. And there I was one Sunday night as Megan's at work at the hospital in Newcastle. And I'm kind of on Google. I'm looking at Italian kind of travel options. And I just happened to take a few minutes to go to Christian Jobs to look at a few positions that Baptist Care advertised. And then suddenly, this role of executive pastor at this church, Crossway in Melbourne, kind of jumps out of the page. That wasn't my script. I was supposed to be in Italy. But God decides to bring me to Melbourne. Now, it's a beautiful place. And I'm glad I'm here. It's been an incredible privilege to be here. But seriously, 12 months ago, this is not where I intended to be. And God broke in the most surprising way. And I'm so thankful to God that he did that. The challenge for us, are we promptable? That's the senior pastor's word that he gave us. It's the dictionary word of 2017. Our new word, promptable, and our prayer from Pastor Tim, come Holy Spirit. Are we promptable? Are we ready? Can you hear this in grace and love this morning? I read this week that too many Christians feel like God is never going to invite them to the surprise party. But God wants to invite us afresh to his surprise party this morning. If your marriage is stale, God wants to surprise you. If you're living with addiction and you don't want to live with that anymore, God wants to surprise you. If you're opening up your heart and mind and saying, God, I really believe you're calling me overseas, God wants to surprise you. If you're here this morning, you've been a Christian for 50 years, and you know your heart is hardened, God wants to surprise you. The call for us to be ready and obedient for what God wants to do. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." I was sitting there in the front row a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you were here when we watched the OM trailer for the movie, the documentary we had on here a couple of weeks ago. And there was a young guy up on the street, I don't know who he is, an OM missionary. And he said this. He said, "The answer is always yes, Jesus, to whatever the question you might ask." A young man with a surprising mindset and heart. Jesus, break afresh into my life. The incarnation calls us out of our comfort zones. It calls us out of our comfort zones. Practically, theologically, philosophically, the incarnation is wrapped up in a God who chooses for us, a God who in his wisdom and mystery in the salvation plan of eternity, a God who chooses to leave heaven, to break into time and space, to break into our beautiful but messy and broken world, fully God but fully human. God breaks out of his comfort zone. He disturbs the pattern of eternity for you and for me. And he calls on you and I this December. He calls on us afresh this Christmas to be men and women ready to step beyond our comfort zones, to let go of our security blanket, whatever that might be in our life today. Think about Joseph. You know, when I was a kid, up the road from my house in Newcastle was a little Lutheran church, and every year they'd put on a street nativity play. And I always wanted to be Joseph, you know, but I never got the role. The best I got was one year I got to play the wind. Yep, I got some leaves put on me. And every now and then the narrator would say, "And the wind blew." Hold your breath, I won't be in the Christmas production this year. Joseph, often pushed to the side, but think about Joseph. He had the script written, just like many of us do. I got the beautiful girl, I got the plan, going to build our first house. That's the career path, there's the family plan. Let's remember he's a real human being in history. And God breaks into his life, and God takes him out on a limb. And what does Joseph want to do? He wants to do what so many of us often do, and what I in my heart believe some of us are doing right now. Joseph wants to step back. He wants the comfort of home. He wants the security blanket. But God says, jump. God says, trust me, Joseph. God says, life will never be the same, but it will be good. It will be an adventure. It's what I've shaped you for. Just as the Father sent me, Jesus says, so I send you. What does that mean? That means Jesus sends us out of this place into our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our streets, our schools. He sends us into our spheres of influence to be his men, his women. But in sending us, he calls us out of our comfort zones. He calls us to leave behind our security blankets. My mum's got a friend who crochets blankets, and she's given one, unfortunately, to every one of my children as they've grown up. My 8-year-old still loves to take it to bed. It stinks. She hates when we wash it. Don't tell her that. She hates when we wash it because it doesn't smell the same. My 19-year-old daughter came to the time when she was 18 and a half, no, a bit younger. My 19-year-old daughter came to a point in her life when she was about 8 that she needed to put down the blankie. She needed to be big and brave and go to bed on her own without the blankie. We're adults, but we've all got our security blankets, haven't we? We've got our comfort zones, family, career, our house, risk averse. We've got the places we feel safe and comfortable. We've got those things in our life that make us feel secure. But At Christmas time, God breaks into history. God breaks into our neighborhood. God breaks into our worlds. And he actually graciously says, I want to rattle your cage. I want to disturb your comfort. Because look at this quote from Maria Atoud. I live a small life when I stay inside my comfort zone. We don't want to live small lives, do we? So what is God calling you to this morning? What is God calling you to do this morning? To step out of your comfort zone. Where is God pushing today in your life, in your worlds? This Christmas, do we choose comfort or do we choose kingdom? The incarnation brings surprise. The incarnation pushes us out of our comfort zones. And the incarnation is all about change. The incarnation is wrapped up in change. Max Lucado says, when God comes to town, everything changes. Crossway, this Christmas, God comes to town afresh. It's our prayer this December, as we move through this Thrill of Hope series, that we will allow God to move afresh in new ways in our life. What does God want to do in my life this Christmas? Where does he want to lead me on new roads? Think about the Magi. Think about those influential, elite, powerful men who come following a star. They've done their astrological research. That they believe in this kind of omen, this prophecy, that a star will come and lead them to a baby king. And they come, but they meet the king of the universe. They meet Jesus. And the Spirit at work in their lives brings them to their knees. And in a verse that often we can miss in the Gospels, as they come to their feet rather than submit to Herod's plans, their life has changed and they go home on a different road. They go home in a different way. This Christmas, what are the different roads, the different ways that Jesus wants to call us to? In Isaiah chapter 40, as Isaiah prophesies of when Israel will be free of captivity in Babylon, we read these great words, listen. Listen. It's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Friends, this morning, are you stuck in the wilderness? Are you stuck in the wilderness in your relationships, in your marriage? Are you stuck in the wilderness in your faith journey? Do you feel your heart has been hardened? God comes this Christmas to break us out of wilderness. And he comes to break us out of wastelands of brokenness and sin and grief or resentment or unforgiveness or pity. He comes as the God to break afresh, to lead us on new roads, to lead us out of wilderness and wastelands. And Mark picks up on these words from John the Baptist. Prepare the way for the Lord, clear the road for him. When I was a little kid lying on the ground at my grandparents' house, most of my family were Catholic. And over Christmas Eve, we'd get up and we would go to the local St. Aloysius Catholic Church. And there was a really big, rotund priest with a big beard. He only needed a red suit and he would have been right. But every Christmas, these words would come on the screen. And he, like Pastor Tim, could sing. And so he would sing these words, prepare the way for the Lord. And wow, they made a mark on my life. I can still hear him singing those words today. Prepare the way for the Lord. Clear a road for him. Crossway. Today, where does God want to prepare a new road for us in our lives? Where does God want to do a new thing in our worlds, in our life today? Because Jesus comes. And Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've come to release the captives, let the blind see and give the oppressed freedom. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I've come to take you out of wilderness. I've come to take you out of the wastelands. I've come to bring grace and freedom and change. I've come to bring renewal and refreshment to your life. I've come to give you purpose. They've come to give you life and life to the full. Jesus is here with change for us today. We can say, yeah, we know that. But do we know that? Jesus is here with change for us today. This year, as a church, we've been leaning in and listening to the Spirit. At the beginning of the year, Dale, our senior pastor, gave us that word. Will we be promptable this year? Promptable to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Pastor Tim really changed our prayer life this year by reminding us of how he was impacted by that simple prayer, come Holy Spirit, and we've prayed that all year long. People have been through prophecy training. We've had so many words come before us here around similar themes of opening up our hands and letting God do new things, of taking down the umbrellas across the auditorium that would block the Holy Spirit, from moving from a hardness of heart to a softness of heart, of allowing the Spirit to come afresh in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit, in our lives this Christmas. Let change happen. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? My mum ran over my legs at Christmas time and everything changed. But Jesus broke afresh into my life and things changed even more. And I want Jesus to continue to change me and mold me and shape me and my marriage and my family and my relationships, that I can be the person he wants me to be. And what better time to allow God to break afresh into our lives than this Christmas season. As we wrap up, can I take you to John chapter 5? And Jesus comes to a pool. And the gospel writer tells us that this pool is surrounded, if you like, with a grandstand of hopelessness and desperation. There are people who are physically broken, mentally broken, spiritually broken. We could sit in those grandstands. We've all been broken. We know brokenness in our lives today. And Jesus comes to that scene, and I love this verse. It says, Jesus saw a man. Jesus sees me today as I am. My strength, my aspirations, my goals, my desires. But he sees my brokenness, my failure, my need of him. Jesus sees the man. And this man for 38 years has been paralyzed. 38 years he's been physically challenged. For 38 years he's been living with self-pity because he believes his superstition that when the bubbles kind of rise up, if you get in first, you can be healed. You know, a bit like, you know, getting in through the doors on the Boxing Day sale first. But he missed out and he's lived with self-pity. And Jesus comes to him and says, do you want to get well today? Do I want to get well today? Do I want to get well today? Jesus says, do you want me to change your life today? Do you want physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing? Do you want me, the incarnate God, the Emmanuel God, God with us, do you want me to break afresh into your world today? Because if you do, everything will change. And he says to the man, take up your mat and walk. You see, Jesus could have just preached about change to the man, but nothing would have changed. Jesus could have prayed over the man for change. Jesus could have said to the man, think about change and feel good about yourself. But Jesus says, no, take up your mat and walk. And the man needs to do just that, to take up his mat and walk and experience the surprising God who comes at Christmas time, the God who calls him out of his comfort zone, the God who says, leave behind where you are and see a new future, the God who says, I'm here to bring you change. The God who is the thrill of hope. The God who wants to break afresh into your life and my life today. I went for a walk after the first service just around the car park and seeing the church in action. And I sensed God just kind of put these four R's in my mind. My sense is God wants to break into relationships this morning. There are people sitting here in their comfort zone, but not happy with where their relationships are at. Not happy in their marriage, not happy in their family, yearning for better days in relationship. Today is the day to say, come Holy Spirit, bring change into my relationships. Have courage and faith, because God wants to turn up and surprise us. The second R God was saying is, there are people here today who are resistant. There are people here who love God and have seen God work in their lives in the past. But in your comfort zones and with your security blankets today, you resist what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And God's Spirit would say, let the incarnate Jesus break afresh into your life today. Don't resist, but come. And thirdly today, I sense that Jesus would say, there are people here who need release. People who need a change in their relationship, people who are resisting, people who need release. Release from sin, release from pain, release from regret, release from the things that have held you back. The Holy Spirit would say, today, let me bring freedom, let me bring healing, let me bring the thrill of hope. And the fourth and final R this morning, response. There are people here today who have the opportunity to come to Jesus for the first time in their life, to meet the thrill of hope for the first time in their life. But at a deeper level, I also sense there are people here today who need to respond to the Holy Spirit's call on their life to meet the thrill of hope afresh in their life, to let go of hardness and to embrace renewal, to let go of hopelessness and embrace hope, to let go of despair and embrace joy. Will you stand with me, Crossway? Or stand with me in your lounge rooms or cafes, wherever you're watching around the globe. Will you stand? Can I invite you just to put your hands in front of you? Simply as a sign of saying, Lord, I'm open to you. I'm open to surprise this morning. I'm open to change. I'm open to the thrill of hope. If you're here today, you've never personally committed your life to Jesus, and you know today's the day. He's died for you on the cross. He loves you as you are. He's forgiven your sins. He wants the best for you. He wants you to experience life with hope and meaning and purpose like you've never experienced it before. You know today's the beginning of a journey. You want to find out more about Jesus. You want to commit your life to him right where you are with eyes closed and heads bowed. Can you just raise your hand? Be brave, be courageous this morning. Just raise your hand so I can see it and say, Jesus, today's the day. Just like people did in the last service, today's the day that I want to enter into a relationship with you. It's an opportunity for us. Thank you. And now for each one of us here this morning. In my heart, in my gut this morning, as we enter into Christmas 2017, in my gut this morning, I just believe there are people here who the Holy Spirit is ministering to, touching, tapping on the shoulder, stirring in their heart, that today's a day for change. In your personal life, in your faith life. There are some people here who have been Christians for many years and have never taken a step to say, God, I actually need that change and I need it now. A change in our marriage, in our family, healing, our finances, call to faith, a call to ministry. As we sing, as James leads us this morning, today's a day for boldness. The man had to take up his mat and walk. I'm just going to come and kneel here this morning and say, Jesus, I want that change in my life, but I believe there are others who need to join me this morning. And so if you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you, can I invite you as we sing, be bold, be courageous this morning. Make this Christmas count. open your life up to Jesus afresh. There'll be people here to pray with you. Don't be resistant to what the Spirit wants to do in your life. Join us at the front as we sing together.